Christina. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, if you listen often enough, I know you'll identify this as being one of your favorite days because it's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We'll get him on in a moment, but I have a question for you today. Just think about this for a moment. What adjustments do you think God wants you to make in your life, in your schedule, your habits, maybe your way of thinking? What adjustments do you think God wants you to make in your life so that you can enjoy better health and vitality in mind, body, and spirit? I want you to think about that for a moment. As I said, we're going to continue our monthly feature called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We'll get him on in a second. A couple quick announcements. Our one-on-one appointments for our Writers Conference are going fast. It's so exciting to see these registrations pour in. If you've got a dream to be published someday, or even kind of just a deep desire to take next steps to see if this is the path God has for you, get to our conference. We have set the table. We've got an A-list faculty on board, editors, agents, experts in the field. I'm telling you what, our keynote speaker is Liz Curtis Higgs. We've got amazing worship lined up. The website is NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. We can accommodate a whole huge group, but we only have so many slots left for one-on-one appointments with faculty members. So if you want to include that one-on-one appointment, get signed up now, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. That's not to be confused with our Writers Contest. It's our fifth year. And telling you what, we're doing a little bit different here this year, is the top six winners actually get your registration automatically paid for at the conference, and you're guaranteed. We're saving some spots, some one-on-one spots with our acquisitions editor from Bethany House. Those appointments went right away, except for the ones we saved for the winners of the contest, all right? And the submission and voting closes Monday at midnight, Monday, March 20th. So you just got a few more days to submit your submission, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. That information is on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want you to know, Dr. Troy and I are going to chat for a little bit at the open of the show, talking about just tweaks and adjustments that are really healthy to make. So I'm not officially opening up the phone lines, but if you want to call and be in queue and be waiting for a little bit, you can do that if you'd like. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues. This is one thing I can attest to. They do so well. And to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. And Dr. Troy, always an honor to have you on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you. So you know this, and you're an overachiever, so I know you came armed with the scripture. At least I'm pretty sure you did.
Yes.
Do you have a verse you've been thinking about these days?
Yes. So today it's Proverbs 4:20-23, and one of my favorite, my child, listen carefully to everything I say. Don't forget a single word, but think about it all. Knowing these teachings will mean true life and good health for you. Mm-hmm. Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life.
Wow.
And another translation is protect your mind for life flows from it. So I just as far as what we're talking about, as far as health, our mindset really is important. And there's so many levels to this that I hope we can talk about it a little bit more and dive into what does it look like for each of you, because this is different for all of us, very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been covering this. I mean, you've really spurred my interest in just my own health journey, but we've had a number of guests on the show. Dr. Timothy Jennings wrote the book, The God-Shaped Brain, and in his book he talks about there's two motivational fuels for the brain, love and fear, and that's so fascinating, and I know you've talked about this as well, and this is scientists who say this apart from faith, and yet the Bible says perfect. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts
yes.
out fear. And one of the last times you were on, you were saying we can't heal when we're in fear. It's like a different track. Maybe for those who missed that conversation, unpack that idea, and then we'll start talking about some just very basic tweaks you can make today to see improvement in your health.
Well, generally speaking, when we're in a state of fear, literally our cells fold up over itself. So think of a frightened child. Just picture a frightened child just kind of tucked away in the corner and arms up to their chest and knees up to their chin, and they're just in protection mode. When we're in a state of fear, our cells literally go into protection mode, and we have receptors on the outside of the cells, and they get folded over on, which means that we can't absorb the nutrients that we're consuming in our diet, through our supplements, whatever we're taking in is not efficiently going into our cells. Whereas people who are in a state of love, their cells are wide open and things flow right into the cell. And so healing occurs at a much, much faster rate. And part of the problems is, as we go through life, we have more and more stressors, more and more traumas. And if we don't learn to apply the biblical principles, they constantly add up to stressful, traumatic life where our cells are closing off on each other and we're not healing as efficiently, as effectively. And so the good news is we can open them up at any time.
Hmm. And the things that God calls us to, he equips us to get there. I mean, let peace rule in your heart, let peace rule and reign, and let your hearts not be troubled. These are things that he doesn't do for us. He makes them available to us, though.
Correct. Yeah, we've got to take our personal responsibility. We have to take an action step at some point. And so we're told what we can do. We just have to do it.
Indeed. Yeah. I mentioned this before, and I feel like it's a great point to bring up again just for the context of our conversation. But years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow. And I'm like, why?
really?
Exactly. And he whispered in my heart, you don't have the infrastructure for healing and health because you think like a sick person. This was many, many years ago. And that's when I went after it and renewed my mind and started to think healthy thoughts. And it was amazing how I slowly just started to improve significantly. But in this most recent bout, there was a whole new level of just soul health that God's been addressing. But here again, as I've seen you and we worked some things out, this neck jaw stuff has been massive for me. Well, if God would have zapped me, I still had habits with my neck. Okay, just I'm giving a practical example, and there's a point to this, and I think it will help you. But as a cyclist, I'm hunched over and I'm leaned forward. As a writer and someone who's on the computer, I work off my little tiny laptop and I'm hunched over. And you said you spend so much time in that position, the muscles in the front of my neck have shortened and are so tight.
Yep.
And so even if God were to heal me that, one day, I still have these practices that seem like they're good for me, but they're imbalanced. So I had to get a monitor so I could stand up. I had to do exercises to work my shoulder blades and neck to bring things back and balance it so my body could sustain what God was using you to do to bring healing. That's just an example. But I'm saying there's things you may be doing that you think you're doing yourself a service, but they're not sustainable for healing. And so I want you to talk there's overt bad habits, but then there's just things that just, they're not bad in themselves. They're just not good for you. So speak to those things if you would.
Yeah. What we do consistently gets laid down as memory, number one. And also if you are exercising a muscle, let's say it's the bicep muscle, and that's all you did for 24 hours a day, that would create quite an imbalance in your arm with the one muscle being bigger on the front than the tricep muscle on the back. And so the reality is we do a lot of the same things over and over and over, both physically, like you were talking about, as far as some of the habits of when you're writing a book. But a lot of people who are in the same job or same position for a couple years are doing a lot of the same stuff day in and day out. And so we are what we call a flexor-dominated society. Everything's in front of us. So we're always stimulating the muscles in front of us. Now, we actually have twice as many nerves in the brain that go to the muscles in front of us as we do the extensor muscles or the muscles of our back. And so as we age and our brain declines, you see people starting to slowly flex forward. And so the elderly man or woman will have the rounded forward shoulders, the head is forward, and they lose 2-3 inches in height because of literally dehydration in the spine, but also they're bending forward. So that's a big part of it, is looking at what are we doing over and over and over in repetition and then counterbalancing it. Mm-hmm. The wall angel exercises that I talk about undo a lot of the flexor-dominated scenarios that we have all day long because it focuses on the muscles of the back. And so really only backstroke swimmers are one of the few people that I know of that come in and they're extensor dominant. But you can get back a lot of function just by exercising the muscles of your upper back and keeping your core strong. So we want to identify what is it that I'm doing a lot and can I do an exercise, a physical exercise to undo it? That's a big part of it. Just taking a break, looking in the mirror or looking at your spouse and look at them straight on and just see, is one shoulder higher than the other? Is one shoulder far in front of the other? When they turn to the side, is their head forward above ahead of their shoulders? If you're starting to see some of these things, you can do simple exercises like the wall angel exercise to undo that. And that's a perfect example for the physical components. But then when you start looking at the mental habits that we have on a daily basis, first we want you to just create some awareness of what are your mental good and bad habits. We don't really stop and take time to say, okay, now what do I do really well? And what is one of my worst habits? Mm. And that's what I would encourage really people good. To do is just stop for a second and start to look at your bad habits. And we're going to classify a bad habit as something that you do fairly often that isn't working for you. It may have served you at one point in your life, but it's not serving you anymore. So there's a whole list, a whole slew of bad habits. Some that I think are just really not good for your health for most people. Now, this is not for everyone. There is no perfect list. So, for example, you might have a bad habit of not eating enough, and the person right beside you might have a bad habit of eating too much. You might have a bad habit of eating late right before bed, whereas a person who is a reactive hypoglycemic needs to eat before bed. So you have to look at what is not serving you, what habits, staying up too late, watching TV too many hours of the day, or not listening. You're interrupting your people that you're speaking with. All of these things are examples of potential bad habits. And when you can identify one or your top three, then choose the top one and just start to work on it over the next 3 months. If you can change one bad habit a year, you'll be shocked how much that influences your overall health and well-being.
Wow. We're still going to not take calls because we have so much more to talk about. I think we'll grab Wendy from Minnetonka on the other side of the break as she's holding. But Dr. Troy and I are going to continue talking about some just very basic tweaks that you and I can make to contribute to our overall health. Here again, you know, we want to be zapped. We want God to do instant healing, and He does that sometimes. But I have to believe that there's times He lets us walk through the process because He wants to partner with us in it. And our choices matter, and we need an infrastructure to carry health and healing. We just do. We got to be thinking biblically and carrying ourselves in a way that fits who He's made us to be. Talking to Dr. Troy, it's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got him for both hours, so don't worry. I'll be opening up those phone lines in just a minute. But more great conversation up ahead. You're having a great day today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It is our monthly edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got him in for both hours, so we're mostly going to spend some time talking, he and I, back and forth on some just basic tweaks we can make to our health that would contribute to our overall health. We will be opening the phone lines in a moment. I know Wendy jumped and she got in and she's been holding for a bit, so I want to grab her call. I promise to open these phone lines in just a moment. We just got a few things we want to chat about. Wendy from Minnetonka, though, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I have a question about calcium deposits in the arteries. About 6 months ago, I got a test done that reveals calcium that is collecting in your arteries. And I do have a family history of heart disease. I'm 54, and my score ended up to be a score of 4, which the technician thought was rather low, and I was quite excited that it was low. But when I saw my doctor, he said that the printout says that that score puts me in a 80th percentile with of a risk for women of my age for a heart disease, a heart attack. And so he wants me to go on a statin, and I just really hesitate to go on a statin. I've been fairly healthy person, exercising rather regularly and taking vitamins and being rather health conscious. I'm just wondering if he has any opinion. I know he's not going to tell me not to, but just wondering his thoughts about that.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to tell you to not listen to your doctor, first and foremost. But well, I'll talk generally on calcium and what I'm assuming is some deposits. And so there's a lot of factors when it comes to those types of findings now. So to comment one way or to give guidance or advice on without any other information, I couldn't do. But generally speaking, in functional medicine, which is the approach we take, we look at the metabolic arena here, the body as a whole, what's going on. Generally speaking, we find that when people are having troubles like this, there's a problem anywhere. Usually it's the thyroid if there's a hormone imbalance. But so thyroid needs to be addressed and assessed as well. And if they're recommending a statin, there could be some cholesterol imbalances. Generally speaking, it's free radicals that cause damage to the lining of the blood vessels. Free radicals can happen, like if you're a smoker, if you have other inflammatory conditions. If there is a genetic component, now sometimes lipoproteins will elevate, and there's a genetic component to that. There are antioxidants that are really beneficial, and antioxidants primarily help stop free radicals. Sometimes you need extra ones, even for the genetic people who have a genetic tendency to have hypercholesterolemia. The calcium itself is a sign of dysfunction, though. So even though you've been doing a good job taking care of yourself, there's something that needs to be addressed. Now, traditional doctors will recommend statins. There are pros and cons to that, so you can look up the research on that. We will actually use statins for certain genetic scenarios or natural statins in functional medicine. Red rice yeast extract is an example of a natural statin. But at the same time, we always try and look into the bigger picture of what else could be setting that up. And thyroid dysfunction is a big one. Lack of exercise is another big one, because we need calcium to help with the contraction of muscles. And when you're not using your muscles, that can also lead to some buildup. And then alkalizing, if you have an acidic inflammatory diet, that can cause damage to the arteries as well. Vitamin E is a very important antioxidant for blood vessels, as are B vitamins. Methylated folic acid, methylated B12, and niacin is actually known to lower lipoproteins. Niacin is that nice B vitamin that if you take too much of it, you get a flush. I encourage people to build up their niacin slowly so they don't flush as much, but it's very, very important and can actually start to reduce some of the lipoproteins. So without a full blood panel, it's hard to say for sure, but it is a sign, even though you've been doing a lot of stuff right, that there is some level of dysfunction that has to be addressed.
Thank you for that call, Wendy. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, so why don't you pick up where you left off about bad habits? What we're trying to do here is talk about, Dr. Troy was saying before the break, if we could trade one bad habit, what did you say, a year?
I mean, that even a year, just one a year.
I mean, how better off we would be in our health. And so talk more about this, because we want to give you some tangible takeaways, adjustments you can make today that will bear fruit tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of our bad habits come when we're in our stressed state. So if you can identify what is it that you do when you're in your stressed state, do you go to food right away? Do you go to sugar right away? Do you stop eating? Do you stop talking to people? So identify what it is, because when you learn how to manage that better, you're instead of having a downward turn with your health, you're going to have an upward turn. Mm. So when things are at their worst, you actually can feel better and start to come through that. But it takes a very focused effort, even game plan, just to sit down and say, for the next 3 months, I'm going to work on not eating after 7 p.m. because my bad habit is eating before bedtime. Or my bad habit is hitting my snooze on my alarm 5 times and then rushing to get out of bed and starting my day.
In fight flight.
In fight or flight, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I want to go through just a couple habits that I wrote down here. There may be many, many more, and if I missed any, you can always send us a little information here on what you have seen as bad habits, not yours, other people's.
Of course,
bad
your
habits.
Friends.
Yes, mm-hmm. your friends' bad habits. So this is just a quick top 20 list, if you will. But staying up too late, eating too late, worrying is a really extensive bad habit. Worrying about what other people think of you, worrying about the health of your family, different things like that. Exaggerating. So that was one that I worked with someone on. They were prone to exaggeration, and they didn't realize how much that was affecting their life. They would take a story and relay it back to their family, exaggerate it, but it was causing stress in their family.
Wow.
Because of the drama that wasn't really there.
Wow. And the implications of that would be relational and then physical.
Yes. And it all kind of steamrolled from there. So just one, and it wasn't even a lot, just one little bad habit of exaggerating. And they came by it honestly. Their mother exaggerated, the grandmother exaggerated, and it was part of their personality. It's actually what attracted the husband to find their spouse because of their ability to tell a tale, basically,
yeah.
to entertain through the storytelling.
Wow.
So it was a gift of hers, but at the same time, if it spilled over into other areas of life, it started to become almost dramatic and stressful for the rest of the people around her, which then caused her stress.
Well, bad habits are costly, so it started to cost her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a hidden one. That's one that was that's very easy to not even see it as a bad habit. Another one is gossiping. That's the one I like to make sure doesn't happen because it's, you know, similar lines as to the exaggerating, eating too much or ordering too much when you go out to eat, not paying attention to what you actually feel, interrupting people, being sarcastic or making fun of people, being overly critical of people, stress eating, shopping, or drinking. Any one of those can be a habit. Always apologizing is another good one, where that's a bad habit because it sets up a different tone as far as how you feel you show up in life.
Boy, so good. Talking to Dr. Troy. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got a little bit more conversation ahead that we just need to keep having, but I think it's important and so applicable to all of us. And then we'll open those phone lines. So hang on with us. Great conversation up ahead. Had that song on repeat all summer. That song is I'm Healed by River Valley. It's fantastic. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I'm thinking you might be chomping at the bit to get on the phone and talk with him. And this is kind of unconventional because normally we have the phone lines open all 2 hours. But this feels really important. We both just chatted about this, that the things we're talking about here applies to every single one of us. And what Dr. Troy was saying before the break is it's amazing what it does for our health to identify just one bad habit and focus on it. And we all have these habits. And as I was saying at the open of the show, my habit of riding my bike and working on my laptop, what you'd never think is a bad habit, but when I'm not creating balance in my back, it was really physically impacting me negatively. So not only are there bad habits, but there are just habits that need to be counterbalanced, as you were saying. But before we get to just some physical tweaks a person can make that and see great fruit from, maybe wrap up that. You know, you had a few more bad habits you wanted to talk about and how a person goes about focusing on the one and ridding themselves of it.
Yeah, just to be clear, too, these are not all my bad habits.
Yeah, no.
These are just bad habits, just so we're clear.
Not from experience.
Not from experience.
He seems to over-relate a bit much, but just kidding.
Actually, this one, next one is one of mine that I used to have, but eating too fast is another bad habit. Especially in our line of work, we don't get a lot of breaks or anything like that, so...
What's the implication of that? I'm sorry, I just interrupted, which is a bad habit.
Sorry. That's okay. It's your show.
Thank you.
Yes. If you don't break the food down, if you're not present with your food, there's a few things that can happen. So the negative implications of eating too fast is that your enzymes aren't readily there to break the food down the food will stay undigested in your digestive system longer. Bad bacteria can start to build off of that. And so we start to see dysbiosis, which we now know how important good bacteria and the bacteria biome of the digestive system are for us. So eating too fast can lead to digestive dysfunction, which will then eventually lead to all kinds of other consequences. And so it could lead to sleep disorders. It can lead to other bowel irregularities, including problems with serotonin, dopamine, things like that.
And okay, so all these different bad habits that he's listed, you could have really stopped at each one and given some physical implications, because they all have physical.
They do.
So just a side note before we move on. So if a person has digestive issues and they're eating fast, that's step one.
Yeah.
Slow down and let your body catch up and be present with your food. I love that.
Yeah, and not only that, by slowing down and you're present with your food, start to really look at what are you eating, the flavors. Because when you eat too fast, you're missing out on stimulation for the brain. The brain basically needs to be stimulated from any of our senses. That's touch, that's sight, that's hearing, that's kinetic movement, and that's taste. Our taste buds are receptors that will stimulate our brain. So when you take time to thoroughly assess what you're eating with joy and appreciation, that will open up just how much joy you're having while eating. So you're nourishing your body and your mind at the same time. When you eat too fast, you're skipping that whole process.
So that's what I was going to say. So you're bypassing the process. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's the aspect of it, too, to really taste your food. I mean, to be real, people are starving all over the world. And if you can order what you want from the menu or get what you want out of your cupboard, is an amazing, profound gift. But in this rat race culture, we miss all of that. And then our bodies pay a price.
Yes. And just like if we're out and about in our daily routine, if we don't take time to stop and look around, we miss God all around us. Mm. He is there everywhere. There's so many signs everywhere. But He's also right there in every food. We are blessed with how much food we get to have in this country, and also the quality of food. And so if we take time to really appreciate what we're eating, not only does it help us with digestion, but you're actually having a therapeutic response in the brain from what you're doing. So just slow it down, take time with your food, and you will not need as much. We there's clinical studies that show when you take time and chew your food and assess your food, you eat half the food that you normally would.
Mind-boggling. This, you know, I know I eat too fast. I mean, we move in a fast culture.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine if you're eating fast, your brain really hasn't even caught up with the idea that, so you're already consuming more than you need because you've not gotten the message yet.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because we, generally speaking, by time we get the message that we're full, we're 20 minutes past that already.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we've been eating for 20 minutes more. So always give it a good 20, 30 minutes to see if you're truly hungry, because it's going to take some time to break it down and then get the messages back to the brain. And so my European friends, they do it so well. My Italians and my French friends there, they spend 2-3 hours at meals and they converse and they talk and they laugh. And they have a lot of food there, but they don't necessarily eat it all.
That's amazing. And I know you have more of your list, but I just got to ask. So eating too fast, this might be your thing. But also eating to fullness. I want you to talk about the physiological implications of eating past what you need. So some people stuff themselves on a regular basis, and that, you've said before, is really tough on the system.
Yeah, that's another bad habit on the list, is that you basically eat to fullness, or you stuff yourself, overstuff yourself. And the reality is you should stop eating when you're still a little hungry.
Hmm.
And that's a good habit. And we're going to transition into good habits here in a little bit. But you'll find that successful people, whatever their success is in, maybe it is their physical health, maybe it is in the business world or what they do with their mind, they do little things right all the time in that area. And so no one does every little thing, right? But there are people who are very successful. So take a look at successful people in the areas you want to be successful in, if it is how to eat or body weight or whatever it is. They do these little things right all the time.
Fantastic.
And so eating to just – you want to be just a little bit hungry when you stop. And theoretically, technically, we shouldn't eat until you get that little growl in your stomach. And so we tend to eat too soon, many of us, because it's time to eat, not because it's our time to eat.
I'd heard somebody once said that if you don't feel a physical hunger pang twice a day, you're overeating. You're
That's
consuming
correct.
Too much.
Is that absolutely correct.
Wow.
Yep.
Amazing. Okay, what else do you have for us? That's so interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah, I love that one because that was my mom. I came by it naturally, but
yes.
my mom said she called me her little snake when I was a boy. So it was I can't blame
he
my job right
his
now.
Meal hole.
Yes.
Watch it go down his neck and anyway.
I was that child that was so excited to get outside to play with my friends
oh,
that
sure.
I would. She'd spend all this time making this beautiful meal, and I'd go in, and 36 seconds later, I'd be done saying, "Can I go outside now? Can I go outside now?"
That's cute. Okay.
Okay, so another bad habit would be saying yes without thinking about it or saying no without thinking about it.
Excellent.
Watching TV, internet, screen time, basically, just excessively. I gave a separate category to Facebook all by itself because Facebook's becoming a very, very bad habit for a lot of people, and people need to just take a break from it, just a Facebook fast.
Mm-hmm,
they need that
mm-hmm.
In their life. Holding grudges, going for fast food, eating too much sugar or soda pop, drinking too much soda pop, not calling family or friends or people when they think of them.
Wow.
Is a bad habit.
Because
wow. when
yes.
when they come into our mind, people who when you think of people who just are well like yourself, people always comment and say, "Susie's like a hug. She's just like a hug." It's because you say things when you think of that for them to bless them. And so when that pops in your head, people who withhold that, that's a bad habit because that thought is now meant to be a gift for someone else because you had it about them. And I wish people knew how much we really were thinking about them but don't express it.
Boy, fantastic.
Because that's a gift for people. And so it's a very good habit to call someone, family or friends, when you have a thought about them because if God's communicating to us, how do we think he's going to do it? It will come as a thought, and we want to be vessels for God. We want to be used by God. So if you're just ignoring what's coming up into your mind that is meant to help give back to someone, then you're ignoring God. So that for me is a really bad habit when you don't follow through with calling people, texting people, and it doesn't take a lot of time.
You know, and I would think one of two of the main reasons, one is just busy and waving it off, and two is diminishing, that was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those you could see how it could keep you from being a vessel and a conduit of God's kindness to the world.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Wow, really good.
Yeah, and that's wasn't right, or no, that's not God talking to me. That's negative self-talk, which is the next bad habit.
Indeed. Well, and once you say also, when you do act on it, I just feel like, you know, obedience clears your spiritual ears.
Yes.
I think when you lower your response time and you respond sooner than later, you get more clarity next time around because you start to get used to what God's voice sounds like and he trusts you with more opportunities.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. You actually feel, you feel the gift of it too because you actually feel better doing it. And it's funny, we get in these good flows with stuff like this, and then all of a sudden we let another little bad habit creep in there because of a bad day, a bad moment, or whatever reason, we get off track. And as much as we're talking about replacing a bad habit with a good habit, if the exact opposite happens, where you replace a good habit with a bad habit, then you start to see disease start to creep in there.
So amazing.
We want to stay on top of it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. I love this.
There's some other ones, blaming people, smoking, bad habit for health especially, but coffee addiction is another one. Lying, there are people who lie to themselves and lie to other people all the time. So this is a tough one to really see, but if you can see it, that's a really important one to get on top of right away. And one of the thing that has to happen at some point is just being vulnerable with and being open that I lied about this or I tend to lie. It's more than exaggeration. It's an actual lie that comes from places. We have people who don't feel like they are enough, so they lie about their career. They lie about who they are, what they do, so to try and impress people. And it just gets out of control, and that stress builds up in them and builds up in them and causes dysfunction. So if that is a scenario that you're in or in a relationship with someone who does that, it's very important to put that one on the list, and I think one of the top ones, because that one, that deceit, especially self-deceit, can really be detrimental to our overall health.
You can imagine the door it opens for the enemy to wreak havoc in your life, and just the consequences relationally and circumstantially, those lies catch up with you. All right. You got any more?
Just a couple more I'll mention. Striving for perfection is a bad habit. We are meant
He's
to...
He's looking right at me
I
now. I'm looking the other way.
We're kind of meant to strive for God's perfection, but at the same time, we've got to give ourselves the grace of being imperfect, and that's where our gratitude for God comes from, because He covers us for that, and we are not perfect, and it's okay to strive for it, but it's really an acceptance of our failures and giving God the glory and being gracious to Him for that. If we don't do that, that's really the bad habit, then the striving for perfection becomes very detrimental to us.
And it puts you in fight flight. And, you know, Bible says, cease striving and know that I am God. So even in our weakness and our strength, all of our help comes from Him. And one of the exercises you had me do about a year ago that I feel like might be for you today as you're listening, Dr. Troy, you had me open my hands and just say, I accept me. And I trust you. I just think that is so powerful, because we all get to be a work in progress.
Yes.
And it seems that when we're striving, we're in the flesh, and it puts us automatically in fight flight. If we want to be perfected, it's only by becoming more like Christ, and that comes from abiding, and which has an element of rest to it. And that's the place where He really wants us to live, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it's a full-blown process. And so it just almost always it's a process where it just takes time, and we develop it, and we become renewed, and then we identify the next layer, if you will, and become renewed, and identify the next layer, and become renewed, and you look back 15 years later, and you're like, you know what, I am a different person.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. It's the work of God doing His work in our lives. When we come back, we have one segment left for this hour one. Let's talk good habits and talk about how you implement those. And then second hour, we'll open up that phone line. I hope this has been good for you. It's just, I feel like it's just been a broader conversation. It applies to far more people. But we know we have very specific questions about, say, diabetes or candida. I see one came in here. Weight loss. We'll talk about all those and more as well. So hang with us. More great conversation up ahead. Believe that God wants you well. He wants you flourishing in health and mind and body and spirit. And there are choices you and I can make to help accommodate that health. God wants to just heal our soul and make us whole. But we all get into habits. And that's what we're talking about today with Dr. Troy. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're spending this first hour talking habits because, as he said earlier, you take one habit and you focus, even in the next 3 months. And he listed habits. So if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the podcast. But focusing on one habit, like I'm not going to eat to fullness, or I'm not going to eat late at night, or I'm not going to gossip or lie to myself or whatever, there are physiological implications to changing that one habit. So let's talk good habits now and just some practical ways to implement these and why.
If you are unaware of what your good or bad habits are, I encourage you to ask people who will honestly let you know in a nice, gentle, loving way what your good and bad habits are. Because as we were talking, not a lot of people know what their bad habits are or their good habits. So if you look at something you're really proud of, something that you're good at, you've been acknowledged for it, there's going to be some good habits in there somewhere. Because when you do certain things right at a consistently, that's when it becomes a habit and it's serving you. And so I always say, if you're stuck in life, this is what I tell my kids, if you're stuck in life, stop, ask a better question. And that's all we're doing here with these habits. Stop, ask yourself, ask God a better question as far as what are my bad habits? What are my good habits? Where do I shine? Where am I gifted? These are different types of questions you can ask yourself. Now, good habits will have positive outcomes in some way, shape, or form with your life. And successful people do the same stuff over and over. And everyone thinks that they were born that way, or, you know, you're just, when you go out on
the
tour,
you're one of the lucky ones.
You're one of the lucky mm-hmm. ones. What they don't see is all of the failure and all the little things that went into set up that moment that you just had. And the reality is, it's the little things that we do on a daily basis that make the big difference. So I'm going to go through a story I heard years ago. And it was a gentleman who just, he brought the point home. And he was in sales, and he was trying to relay to people about how to be successful. And this gentleman came up to him and said, I want to be just like you. This gentleman's a millionaire, multimillionaire, and very much in shape, and perceivably had everything together. And this other guy asked him, how do you do it? He goes, well, let's start with your diet and exercise. He goes, I have 11% body fat. He goes, and the guy said, that's what I want, 11% body fat. So he started listing off what he eats. And he got to the third thing and on his list, and the gentleman said, well, I don't eat broccoli. I don't eat anything green. He says, well, then you're not going to get 11% body fat, because the recipe for 11% body fat is work out like this, eat like this. And the guy was unwilling to do it. Hmm. And so there is a recipe, if you will, for success, for whatever you're looking for success in. So it's the little things. For example, getting out of bed in time. So if you have a bad habit of getting to work late or you're feeling rushed in the morning and that's setting up your day, then set your clock 20 minutes earlier. And if you're tired, go to bed 20 minutes earlier. So set yourself up for success that way. Successful people will be consistent and set themselves up for success. And once you get it into a routine, it becomes very, very easy to do.
You do really create a momentum in your life. And then there's something that happens in your brain as well, right, Dr. Troy? Because, you know, it's amazing what I learned in fitness all those years ago was our bodies are wired for consistency. So even our bad habits, our bodies help us, you know, stick with those bad habits. I mean, it makes it easier to do a bad habit because we're such creatures of habit. So in the same way as you create a new habit, your brain even wires differently where it instinctively then fires, right, to help you with the good habit.
Yes. And so and to say it this way, you're going to crave your habit, whether it's good or bad.
Better way to say it.
Yeah. You're going to crave it because it's hardwired in there. It's easier and easier to do it. So the funny thing is we released this. There's this area of the brain where when it gets just a little twinge of dopamine, dopamine causes that craving. And so as something becomes a habit, just thinking about that habit, whether it's good or bad, will actually start to elicit that same change in the area of the brain, the amygdala. And so we actually start craving it before we've even had it, good or bad. Now, if it's something bad like sugar, then we're going to have a negative consequence to that. If it's something good, we actually start to crave what used to take a ton of effort. So in the beginning, it's effort, effort, effort. And then eventually, when it becomes hardwired in your brain to affect the amygdala, that area deep in the brain, right by our emotional centers, that's where pleasure is perceived. What starts as effort, 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 after 21 to 30 days, will eventually elicit pleasure. And we're wired to avoid pain and seek pleasure. But the first 20, 30 days are painful. So we actually have to bust through that time period of pain before it ever is perceived as pleasurable. And exercise is the perfect example of this, where people, I've worked with people where they come in and they say, I just can't exercise. It's awful. And then they become addicted to it eventually. And
there's so much benefit to it, and they start to feel energized by it. And, you know, you said that, of course, so much better than I said it. But truly, when you think about from a fitness perspective, if you're sitting on the couch after work every night and you're camped in front of the TV and your hand's in the chips, I'm just saying your body responds to that, and it makes it harder to get off the couch because your body's adapted to that habit. But and as you said so well, you apply a new habit, suddenly your body helps you with that habit. And even the way you metabolize fat, the way you recover from a workout becomes more and more efficient. And again, it's easy to sit back and go, well, they're just one of the lucky ones. They're wired to exercise. But it's they've applied themselves and their body's responding to that application, right?
That's 100% right. Yeah. And that's why it's important to identify one, just work on one. And when it's become a habit, you'll know it because you don't feel the effort you used to feel. And you're starting to feel the pleasure from it. And when that happens, go to number two on your list. And if you just did that habit, then that would change everything. And this is true across the board. If you think about Dave Ramsey's financial courses, they talk about just taking a little bit. And there's this component in the financial world called the latte factor, where if you just take the $5 that you spend on a latte and you invest that, you put that into a mutual fund that is 10%, then if you start off doing that every day, take $5, put it into a fund that gives you 10%. By the time you're 50 years old, that's worth $1.4 million. And it starts as a $5 investment, but it just compounds because of the consistency of that. And so that's what we're talking about, but from a health, from a spiritual, from a cellular perspective, those little bits of good positive deposits in your personal bank will help pay off large rewards later on.
You know, we're going to break here in a moment for our second hour, but this applies to, and we've talked about this before, but I feel like it fits in this conversation for somebody listening today. If you've listened often enough, you know I've battled fear off and on for varying reasons over my life, but this recent health storm brought it so to the forefront, and as Dr. Troy so coached me, I just decided to wage war on that fear this summer, and I just refused. I don't care how scary my circumstances were, how scary ISIS looked on the news, how scary the thought of being jumped or whatever would come. I'm like, I am not having a fear thought. I'm not going there. And it felt like knockdown, drag out, a battle with, you know, the devil himself. But it's like, and I've read, it's so interesting that unhealthy neural circuits in your brain, when they're not used, they grow idle and then they stop being used. It's instinctive for me to not go there now. I mean, yeah. I marvel, but that was breaking one bad habit with God's help. But I'm noticing a physiological shift in my whole physical health now because I've broken that bad habit. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's life-changing for people if they just do that consistently. If I could teach one thing, it would be to change a bad habit to a good habit every year. Then I know I'd made a difference in people's lives forever, because the downward consequences are so life-giving versus life-taking that people are going to see a difference, and it's just going to perpetuate that.
And just maybe want to throw these out too. I'm sure these were on Dr. Troy's list. We could have done 2 hours on this topic, but a bad habit would be unforgiveness. A bad habit would be holding a grudge. I think you mentioned that one. Yep. A bad habit would be rehearsing and rehashing all the ways you've been wronged. Terrible, terrible, terrible for yourself. You're not doing yourself or anybody else any favors. We may have to revisit this, Dr. Troy, because there's so much more here. Yep. Really pray that's been helpful for your boy. Fascinating conversation. Okay, now the phone lines are open. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Troy is here to answer your questions. You've got health and healing questions. We're here to answer them. Notice I said we. He's actually here, but I just like to play a doctor on the radio. We'll be back in a minute.